Thank you so much for tuning in to our church podcast. You can go to otarapentecost.com for questions about services and how to donate. We pray that you are blessed by this message today. God bless.
A few minutes. And God is good. God loves his people. God expects us to do our part. He loves us, but we need to love him back. First thing I'd like to do before anything is let's stand and pray in honor of Jesus. Lord, thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for this opportunity, God. I pray, God, that you use me, Lord, to speak your words, Lord. I pray for your people that you open their ears, their hearts to receive the word, God. Lord, I thank you, God, and I honor you, God, and I praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. I'd like to go back to what Janelle, Sister Janelle, said last week. And she was saying something about the words, they have meaning. The words, they are, people can be lifted up by words. Long time ago, probably 2002, we went on a vacation to Brazil, and I met a very interesting man, a preacher. And talking to him, I mean, he was instrumental in my walk with the Lord today. I mean, the words that he gave me, the encouragement, just a mighty word of God. I could feel the presence of the Lord when this man was speaking. And he mentioned to me that he was invited to speak at a radio station for a friend of his. And he says to his friend pastor, says, "Brother, I need to go and pray. I can't just go in front of the people, in front of the microphone and just say anything." He says, "No, just go and say something." He says, no. He says, "I need to get on my knees. I need to pray. I need to see what's the will of God for me to say." Okay, so that's why I wanted to go back to what Sister Janelle says. We teachers, preachers, we gotta be careful how we come across, because the Word of God, okay, can lift up somebody. Amen. But if I allow myself to put whatever I feel like saying, I can kill somebody. And I don't want to kill somebody. I want to encourage somebody. I want to lift somebody up. And that's why I pray and I ask and I say, "Lord, what do I do? What do you want from me, God? What do you want from me?" And then he puts it in my heart. I've had this message for about six or 7 weeks that the Lord put it in my heart. And today's the day. So it's for you. And it's for me. Okay? So the Lord gave me this title, and it is, "It's time to charge." It's time to charge. Okay, I'm missing a picture. Where's my first picture? It's time to charge. All right, praise God. Hey, what's the title about today? It's time to charge. Amen. All right, let's just keep going then. All right, it's time to charge. I asked her to put a picture of a credit card up there. But that's not the charge that God is talking about. In fact, the Bible says he that borrows is slave to the one that lends. I was set free. I don't want to go back to being a slave. So that's not the charge that God is talking about. But God's talking about warriors. God is talking about people that will charge at his command. Not when I feel like it. Not when I think that I should charge. But when God says, charge. What is he talking about? Is he talking about me going and punching somebody in the face? No. Okay, yeah, keep away from that, people. Stay away from that if you can. Next one, please. Praise God. So God is saying, charge your prayers, fasting, just like that. Just like those heroes. You know, many of those boys didn't come back. They didn't come back home. The general says, charge. And they charged. They didn't ask questions. They just charged. I talked to Brother Blanchard years ago, and he says that, I don't remember exactly if he was part of it or some of his buddies were part of it, where they just stormed a place, and their lifespan was like 30 seconds. They were cut in half by machine guns. How would you like to charge that beach? But when we are doing the will of God, we do it. I always go back whenever I have the opportunity to teach or to preach to one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Acts 1 and 8. Because Acts 1 and 8 says, the church has power. The church says, the Lord says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Okay, you're going to be powerful. You're not going to be a weak link. God's not looking for weak links. He's going to give you, He gave you His power. That's not your power. That's not my power. It's God's power. And He bestowed it upon us. So we use it to charge. We use it to go against the enemy. Who is the enemy of the church? It's the devil and his angels who are coming against us, who are trying to destroy us, who are trying to discourage us from the ways. Now is not the time to quit. As we see things happening, get excited about serving God, people. Get excited about things that are happening. Get excited. Let's charge it. Let's push back. Push back. Why is the church powerless? Why is the church allowing the world to push us around? Why do we approach so tenderly, so afraid? Why? See, I went on YouTube and I saw this pastor. You know, I became a fan of his. Because they were teaching garbage to 5 and 6 year old kids. They were teaching just garbage. And he went to the meeting and he waved his Bible around. And he says, why are you teaching the kids about homosexuality? Why are you teaching the kids about nudity? They're 5 and 6 years old. Hey, you're an adult. You do whatever you want. That's your problem. I still recommend you don't do it, but hey, you're an adult. But when you got a 5, a 6, a 7 year old, and they're pushing that thing down your throat, you know, we need more men like him. He faced those board members. You know what happened to him? He was escorted out. The police came and escorted him out. It's all right. At least he charged the enemy. At least he says, I'm going. You're not going to take any more kids. You're not going to destroy any more lives. You're not going to do it. End it. Praise God. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you guys knew, but there was a major thing at the UN. The Iranian president, or whatever you call him, you know what he was doing? He was boasting. And you know what he had on his hand? He had the Quran. He was waving the Quran. And everybody just, ha. When was the last time that we had a leader? Can I have a Bible, please? I left mine there. Does anybody have a Bible? Do we use Bibles on Wednesday anymore or no? Can I have a Bible? Do we have any members, anybody else who says this is the word of God at the UN? Let's charge the enemy. This is the word of God. Okay, why are our leaders are not doing this? Thank you, Brother Mark. Why are our leaders afraid of saying where we stand? Is there anything better than serving Jesus? What are we going to lose if they kick us out of our jobs? What are we going to lose if they kick us out of our house? What is it that we're so afraid of? Praise God. 17-year-old. In Canada, oh my God, reading the Word of God. You know what happened to him? He got escorted out by 3 big police officers, handcuffed him, took him to jail. He wasn't just reading the Word of God. He was reading the Word of God at some kind of parade, homosexual parade. He was simply reading the Word of God, which he was saying, You are in sin. This is wrong. This is against the word of God. He got escorted out. But I'd be honored if he was my son. 17-year-old kid reading the word of God. He charged the enemy. He did not stay back and say, take whatever else you want. Who would allow the enemy to come into our house and take our wives and our children and our possessions? We wouldn't allow that. Why are we allowing the enemy to steal their souls? Why are we allowing that? Praise God. I'm going to say something, okay, and I'm not like, oh, no, he's too violent and stuff, just so that you can have an idea. When I was like 11 or 12 years old going to middle school, there was a little boy, not a little boy, my age. His name was Anderson, friend of mine. For some reason, Anderson thought it was a great idea to beat me up every time. So he beat me up. And then the next day, he beat me up. Until one day I said, you're not going to beat me up anymore. His nickname was Little Potato. So I turned Little Potato into potato salad. Okay? And he left me alone. He never messed with me again. And sometimes the devil, when he comes your way, you got to kick him in the mouth. You got to punch him in the mouth with the word of God. Like Jesus says, devil, you come, get thee behind me, devil. That's what Jesus says. Jesus kicked the devil's mouth with the word of God. Get out of here, devil. Can I have 1 Samuel, please? Let's talk about a man of God that was not afraid of charging. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. I lost it now. And I will give the carcasses of the host. Okay. Are you guys, what is this? Okay, let's start over. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The Lord says charge, but it's his battle. Okay? He says go. All I have to do is go. That's all I got to do. It's his battle. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took then a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Can we go back to 48, please? Because that's my focus verse. He ran. He charged. He didn't do like Saul did. Where is Saul? Well, Saul is hiding behind the stuff. Okay, you don't want to be behind the stuff. You want to charge. So David charged him. David didn't care that the giant was, what, 9, 10, 11 feet tall? It didn't matter to him. David was, what, 15, 16 years old, probably 5'6", 5'7", I don't know. He charged because he knew the battle was not his. It's the Lord's. Do we believe, really? Do we believe our God? Do we believe that he's going to be able to deliver us from our situations? Do you think that David showed any fear due to the size of the enemy? See, we sometimes overthink and end up putting limits on God. God cannot work when we limit him. We have to believe against belief that this is going to happen. When God says, build an ark, Noah, because it's going to rain. There was never rain before. But he charged ahead. I'm going to build this boat because God said it's going to rain. He charged it. David ran towards his problem. He didn't run away from his problems. Today, we see people running away from problems. Alcohol, drugs, those things are not going to solve your problem. Don't run away from them. You got to call on the name of Jesus. Because at his name, when you call his name, he needs to act. Because he says, you call on my name and you'll see what happens. He says, call on me and see if I'm not powerful enough to deliver you. So people keep running away from their situations, from their problems, thinking that they somehow are going to overcome it. See, if I kept running from Anderson, he would still be beating me up. He would take an airplane and come here and beat me up and go back. So I had to put an end to it. I had to finish it. That's it. I'm not taking it anymore. Devil, you're not going to play with me anymore. You're done. You're done. Praise God. Praise God. What about James 4 and 7? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You don't even need to charge him. He'll see the power of God in you. He'll say, hey, I'm not messing with this one. This one is an anointed one. He takes off. That's all it is. But you got to submit yourself to him. You can't go out there sin in the world and then cry for God to help you. No, but submit. Submit means respect God. Listen to him. When he tells something, do it. You submit yourself to him. Praise God. And you resist the temptations because that's what the devil does. He'll tempt you. He'll put something good in front of your eyes. Hey, look at this. But say no. And he'll run from you. Jesus trained David in the wild. I think it was Brother Kelly that was teaching on kind of this subject. And it made sense. He says he was probably there just throwing that rock, you know, and throwing that rock, and throwing that rock. Because God knew that one day those skills were going to come in handy. So God just helped him to be a better thrower. He didn't know why or when he would need his skills. He was completely different, like I said, than Saul. Now, this quote I read before, and I think I've shared this, about Bruce Lee, right, fighter. He says, I don't fear somebody who has thrown 1,000 different kicks one time. But I fear somebody who has thrown one single kick 1,000 times. Why? Because he's good at what he does. He can put that kick wherever he wants. And that's what God did with David. David, I want you to place this rock in a 2x2. Can you do it, David? I really think that God was kind of teaching him, do this way, do this way. David was a man that would not run away. See, we got to look back at where God brought us from. You know, I think it's a good thing to do. My wife disapproves me. But I like to look back on my difficult times, on times that are, okay? She says, no, don't look at that. Just look at the good. Well, see, as a 17, 18-year-old, I was helping my dad as he was a salesman, so I would help him. So what my job was to go with him and to knock on doors. So we would knock on doors. We'd go into those big apartments, complex, Manhattan, the Bronx, Queens, and knock on doors. Hey, do you want to buy this? Do you want to buy that? Sometimes I say, no, get out of here before I call the manager. Or, no, I don't want it. Just get out of there. So that was my job. But come to think about it, see, God was training me not to be a salesman, but to be a man who would present the word of God to somebody. Because years later, he made me to be the director, the outreach director of our churches. I was for many years the director in this church for the church in Pasco. See, I was not afraid of knocking on doors. I was not afraid of talking to people about the Lord. Because I got trained. He trained me. But it was not to be the greatest salesman that I could have been, but to be the greatest deliverer of the Word of God that I could be. That's why he was teaching me. I was so good at it that I went, me and the pastor and another brother, we went on a Super Bowl Sunday knocking on doors. And of course, him and the other brother was on the other side, and I was by my side, and I got kicked off from the house. No, the Seattle's playing, get out of here. So he didn't want to do anything with the Word of God. But here's the amazing thing about God, right? As soon as I start going to this house, the Lord spoke to me. He says, this one's going to be tough. How would you like to have the Lord tell you ahead of schedule how things are going to turn out? He says, this one's going to be tough. Yeah, it was tough because I felt rejected. I felt belittled. I felt terrible. And I look across the street and pastor's smiling and having a good time, laughing at me. And it's all right. It's okay. You present the Word of God. You charge it. Am I supposed to share the Word of God with somebody? Charge it. Go and do it. That's what I did. Could I have judges, please? And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Remember, charge, but it's not you. It's his battle. Charge! But I'll do the work. Charge! But it's me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid. We don't want to be fearful. We don't want to be afraid. We don't want to be cowards. Let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. God is looking for warriors. Warriors, people that will obey him. People that are going to go wherever he sends them. Has God sent you somewhere? Has God asked you to do something? See, we got it easy. Hey, can you witness at school? Hey, can you go across the street? Sister Marlene, I take my hat off for people that leave the country and go to Africa and to Asia and to South America and, you know, places that really you don't want to go. But because they love the Word of God, because they're obedient to the Word of God, they just charge it. God says, go, and they go. Go and deliver the Word of God to the people who are hungry. Many times those people don't have never heard the name of Jesus. And these missionaries go and deliver and bring them hope. Imagine how great it is to receive hope. When you have given up on everything, you have no food, you have maybe not a place to live, you just your life is upside down, your kids are just on all kinds of vices, and somebody brings you hope. Somebody says, you know, there's this man called Jesus, and he gave of himself for you. There's this man that went to the cross, and he bled for you. Don't get sad because he bled. Because without his blood, you wouldn't be saved. But be glad because this man is coming back. Be glad because he's coming back. And if your name is written down in the book of life, you're going to make it. That's the exciting part of it. When things get tough sometimes, I wondered and I think about all the things that he has prepared for those that love him. And that gets me excited, and I forget about my little tiny bitty problems that I have down on this earth. And I just think what he has prepared for me. Praise God. All armies have different parts. We were just talking about Gideon, right? All the armies have different parts. As long as you are in the army of the Lord, you are charging the enemy. See, it doesn't matter what your job is. It's not because somebody preaches that he's better than you to have a special place. No. Everybody, as long as you're charging the enemy, you're doing the will of God. God has a blessing for you. God has that crown waiting for you when he calls you home. Praise God. Can I have Matthew 16, please? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates shall not prevail against the church of God. See, the gates are a protective instrument. It's a protective mechanism. Jesus says, you're going to come and kick that thing down. You're going to go in, and you're going to take back everything that the devil has taken from you, from your family, and you're going to bring it back. Because I'm with you. But I'm asking you, people. I'm asking you to charge. Oh, but it's hell. I don't want to. Yeah, nobody wants to go there. But if Jesus is with you, then you go. You charge it. You kick that thing down. Kick the devil while you're at it. And say, this that you have stolen, I'm taking back. This is mine. You're not going to keep it, devil. You're not going to keep it. We serve a wonderful, wonderful God who has given us all the tools that we need. I can't say to him, Jesus, I can't go because you didn't equip me right. I can't say that. Because the Lord, when he fills somebody with the Holy Ghost, you are a new person. You have power. You have more power than you give yourself, that you credit yourself. You have that power. See, people in the world don't have that power. Why does he give you the Holy Ghost? It's to go through difficult situations. He equipped you. He says, go. Go. Don't worry about your neighbors. They don't want to go leave them. You go. I'm sending you. Charge. Charge the enemy. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is good, church. He loves you. I love you guys. And I want to encourage you because we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Don't let the things of this world discourage you. Praise God. Could we stand? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.